An Arrogant Witch. Witchkin Chronicles, Book 2. Written by E.M. Graham. Narrated by Madison, an auto-narration voice. For Christine, who understood magic. 1. Old buildings are the worst for being portals into the alt world. It has something to do with the stone walls not releasing the vibrations of past emotions that have collected, and the Craft Council's home was no exception. There were ghosts here, way up in the attics on the third floor, and there was also something nasty lurking in the far corners of the cellar behind the clay studio kilns. Devon House it was called, and this stone structure was one of those landmarks that predated even the big fire of 1892, which razed most of the town. Perched over the harbor, the picture windows at the back looked right out through the narrows and over the water to Fort Amherst. As I waited in the second floor gallery to be called for my interview, I looked out at the Southside Hills all gray in the November drizzle, and I shuddered. The fairy den was up there, right at the top of that wind-lashed rock. Perhaps they had Jane's baby, perhaps not. Dara Martin. Martin is my mother's family name. My father, John de Teilhard, is the head of the witch kin. I get my magic blood from him but not his name, which makes me a half-blood and a bastard if things like that matter, and they seem to matter to a surprising number of people. The woman who called my name jerked her head toward a narrow, dark corridor. My first ever job interview. I pulled my shoulders back and glanced into a mirror to check there were no smudges on my nose, checked my boots and jeans to see that all was in order, and moved towards the small, ill-lit space. If I'd been born legitimate, I'd be enjoying a full magical education with spring breaks in the south of France, but as a mere half-blood witch, I wasn't allowed to train or develop my natural powers. After Mom disappeared, Dad stepped out of my life and returned to his wife and other children, sending just enough money for my upkeep and school to fulfill his obligations. The only stipulation was that I had to turn my back on my magic and pretend it didn't exist. If I was one of his real kids, I would have my own credit card. I wouldn't need to look for a job in order to buy Christmas presents. However, I did need the money, so here I was. I took a deep breath and turned into the doorway, but before I could take another step, I found the hair on the back of my arm suddenly standing straight out, and a chill was creeping into my gut. Dad may have forbidden me to develop my powers, yet the magic remained in my blood and in my nature. Even if I didn't actively use my magic, it used me, it pierced the veil between the normal and the alt, and Dad could never stop that no matter how deep he buried his head in the sand. There was something terribly wrong in the air, like that feeling during an earth tremor when the light is misplaced and time wavers from its axis, your body not where it was the moment before in relation to your surroundings. And like a tiny earthquake, it lasted but a fraction of a moment, but that was enough to warn me. The atmosphere was darkening, I could taste it, and I knew that something bad was waiting for me in the room beyond. Something or someone was lurking, anticipating, like a spider waiting for a fly to enter a carefully spun web. Was it a malevolent spirit lurking in the house's bricks and mortar, or an emanation originating from the alt of the building? I'd never felt it here before, not this strong. This presence was more than an angry spirit unloosed from its body and time, much more. This was living and breathing, and hungry, voraciously so. I could almost smell the very need in it that made it so dark about the edges, lurking around the corners and searching for crevices in which to lodge itself. I couldn't force myself to walk across the threshold, so I simply stood silently in dread, waiting for this feeling to pass.